Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the LA Rams UK podcast. Week 11 is in the books, and our Rams defeated the Bucs in Tampa Bay 27-24 in what was a bit of a nail-biting game on Monday Night Football. The win means we now sit at 7-3 atop the NFC West. As usual, we'll be looking in a bit more detail at the game, any news that's come out from the team since the last time we spoke, significant news from across the NFL, the Sky game predictions which have changed in the last hour, and any questions we received from both Twitter and Facebook friends. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Tony. Good.
Excellent, excellent. And making a welcome return is Jordan. Welcome back, Jordan.
Hey, that's good to be back.
Excellent, excellent. Good to see you again. Well, figuratively see you again anyway. So, obviously, we had a good win against Tampa Bay on Monday night. 27-24, bit of a nail biter, as I said. What are your thoughts on how the offense performed, Jordan?
I think it was a bit of a game of two halves, to be honest. First half it was extremely good. I think if you'd have said, to be honest, that Jared Goff was going to pass 51 times, then it I wouldn't have thought the best of what was going to happen, but that was kind of a product of what the Buccaneers were doing on defense against the run. But the passing game really worked well. There was a lot of quick passing. Maybe a product of obviously Andrew Whitworth going down the week before, but overall it was a pretty solid game, out with a couple of pretty bad interceptions from Goff. But when you've got the receiving duo of Kupp and Woods, going for 275 yards between them, you don't even need a running game, really, do you? It was very much a two-man show on offense. Three if you include Goff, obviously throwing them the ball. But the second half was a bit of a, not necessarily negative, because we've obviously come out of the game with a win. But when you look back, I think it's with the way the defense played, it's really a game that the Rams should have won by at least double digits in the end. I think we let the Buccaneers hang around for most of the game. It came down to a defensive stop at the end, but a lot of positives to take, and I think it's always better to know you can work on things and you've got the win rather than the coming out of the game with a loss and knowing there's things to work on. But I suppose we also need to give a shout out to the offensive line, because Goff wasn't sacked. I don't know if there was many times he got hit, to be honest. I think Noteboom done extremely well for his first start at left tackle, and also the rest of the line worked well also, as they've been doing for pretty much most of the year. So not a lot of positives, and you knew it was going to be a tough game, and to come out with a win's an extremely positive thing for us.
No, definitely. I think you've covered quite a lot of what we was going to talk about with the offense anyway. But I mean, the 275 yards between Kupp and Woods, and it's the first time that the Rams have ever had two receivers make 10 receptions each in the franchise history, which is obviously record breaking for us, which is good to see. And I think the offense did move to counter what the Buccaneers were doing to us. I mean, I think before the game we thought it would be a tough game just because it is Brady. They're on a bit of a roll as well. And it was good to see that we was able to actually counter what they were bringing to us. And we're stealing the thunder of one of the questions later on as well. But one of the questions was, how well did that offensive line do? And did we really notice that Andrew Whitworth wasn't there?
I mean, it's like I say, it was a lot of quick passing, which is maybe a product of him not being there, you don't want to put too much pressure on Notboom to hold his block for too long. But, you know, from different breakdowns and stuff I've seen, it didn't seem to be a problem for him. But obviously you would much rather have Whitworth there than not have him there. But I think more so it's maybe a positive for seasons going forward when Whitworth does decide that his time's up and he's had enough. That, because I mean, Notboom hadn't been playing well at all at guard. And it seems weird that he moves one position out to the left, and it's left tackle is the most difficult position on the line, probably, you know, because you've got the quarterback's blind side. And for him to perform as well as he did, you know, it's a good look for the future. I think that's maybe the positive to take from it.
Definitely. I think you're quite right there, you know, because I think it's a product also of the player coaching that Whitworth has been doing over the last couple of seasons with the players on that line. And I think that's coming to fruition now. And, you know, as much as Andrew Whitworth may have a season and a half left in him, he is, I'm going to get this wrong, but he's 37, I think. You know, there's only so many seasons you can squeeze out of a body and so much punishment you can give it. But I would love to see him come back as a coach and actually stay with that offensive line and actually bring them on even more. But it was great to see Jared Goff actually making some numbers, you know, 39 completions from 51 attempts, 376 yards. It was great to see both Van Jefferson and Cam Akers getting their rookie season touchdowns as well. Rob, do you want to add anything to this?
No, I'm actually glad that you both highlighted Joseph Notboom, because he was the big question on the offensive line going into this. You know, as you rightly said, Jordan, you know, with his first start. And, you know, yes, the dinks and dunks, you know, do certainly kind of, you know, favour him actually having to, you know, not certainly maybe block as long as would benefit the defense, kind of thing, because he was, for most of the game, he was up against Jason Pierre-Paul, who's a very decent, you know, right end. And as I say, that was certainly a challenge for him, you know, in his first start. But yeah, I mean, obviously McVay is going to suit the scheme, you know, to try and kind of allow that man to kind of settle in, and it looked as if he very much did. You know, all the comments I was reading after the game, you know, and really from what I saw, he actually had a very decent game. So he did. So long may that continue. Hopefully you see that young guy now go from strength to strength. And the big question could potentially be, you know, that if he continues to go from strength to strength, and hopefully Whitworth does get fit later in the year, does Whitworth go back in, or do you want to keep the young guy in place? It's going to be interesting to see how that transpires. But yeah, I mean, hopefully Joseph Notboom is the future at that position, and hopefully, you know, he continues to go forward and certainly improve.
I think that'll be an interesting problem for the coaches to have, actually making that rotation work between Notboom and Whitworth as well. But I was a little bit disappointed watching. I didn't stay up to watch the game live, but I was a little bit disappointed watching the highlights first thing in the morning, not knowing the score, not to see our newly named Run DMC triple-headed running back actually do more than they did. But it was great to see our offense actually taking it to what is a fairly decent defensive team, and actually coming away with that win. I'm in two minds whether to give the win, the game winning play to Matt Gay with the field goal, or to who got the interception? Was it Darryl? It was
Fuller.
Yeah, he did make two interceptions, and that game-winning interception as well, which I think leads us quite nicely into what were your thoughts on how the defence performed on Monday night, Rob?
Do you know, it's heartwarming to see this defence go from strength to strength. You know, for me, it really is. You know, we're no longer a team. I certainly feel that, you know, has to go out and put 30 points up on the board, you know, to win a game. We look a much more balanced team, you know, to whereby we can potentially win a game with our defence, you know, if the offence is maybe kind of, you know, possibly maybe kind of not playing its best game. So, but yeah, it looks to be going from strength to strength. And we're really seeing, you know, some of these younger players really emerging. You know, Jordan Fuller, as we just said there, had the two big interceptions. Nice to see him, you know, obviously he was out there for a few weeks with an injury, but he's came back in and probably had the game of his game of the season, so he has. But yeah, the defense really looks to be coming together well. You know, Darius Williams, I think again had a very decent game on the outside. Seeing better things from Troy Hill as well. You know, and I think the secondary is really one of the real strengths of that defense. So it is. The pass rush, I think, in kind of recent games as well, has kind of stepped up. You know, we've saw some stuff. You know, from Leonard Floyd. Aaron Donald didn't have maybe his most dominant game of the season, but certainly, you know, I think had a couple of hurries on Brady. And again, yeah, I think as the game went on, and like what you've saw for a lot of this season, as the game goes on, the defense seems to get a hold of the game, you know, mm-hmm. which wasn't always the case. You know, they seem to come into a game, you know, they look at it at halftime, they make adjustments that seem to make a real difference. And again, this game was very much like that. As the game went on, I think you simply saw the Rams' defense get better and better. And then again at the end, coming up, you know, with the big interception to close out the game. I think as you rightly said, Jordan, you know, I think, you know, they allowed Tampa to get back into this game a couple of times. You know, the two interceptions certainly hurt. But I think, to be honest with you, if the defense continues to go forward like this, I really see us making a very decent playoff run. Where coming into this season, I really had my question marks over a few things, as I say. But to be honest with you, I think what I'm looking at now is a very well-rounded team, and a team that's surprisingly playing very well, and a team I think can really compete and have a decent playoff run.
I think you're running ahead of ourselves there, Rob. But it was mentioned on Monday Night Football that I think it was on Monday Night Football anyway, that we do seem to have what is becoming an elite defense, and we have a good offense. And we all know the old term that defenses win championships, whereas offenses win games. But I think the last couple of games, at least, it's been the defense that have been winning the games for us, which is always good to see. And although Samson Ebukam got the only credited sack on Tom Brady on Monday or Tuesday morning for us guys, I was apoplectic that Morgan Fox didn't get that strip sack in the end zone on Tom Brady. Any thoughts on that, Rob?
Yeah, kind of looking at it, you know, I actually watched the game actually on Tuesday morning, and when I first saw it, I didn't think Brady's arm was going forward. But when I saw the slow motion replay, it was so close that it looks as if they've almost gave him the benefit of the doubt, haven't they? I think if you ask the Rams fans, it wasn't. I think if you ask Tampa fans, it was slightly. You know, the two arms were locked, and I think the referee just saw that the motion was there, that the ball was slightly going forward. And again, I think it just favoured Tampa when you saw the slow motion replay.
I think you're being generous there, Rob, from a completely partisan point of view, from myself. But Jordan, any thoughts that you would like to add to that?
No, I mean, I just think it was symbolic of the officiating the full night. It was absolutely terrible. The officiating was probably the worst game I've watched in a long time. I don't know how Jalen Ramsey has two pass interference calls against him, but Mike Evans had zero. There's one as well. Antonio Brown got like a 3 yard bit of separation against Darius Williams because he pushed off at the top of the route. And then he makes a catch where I don't think he was in bounds, and they gave him it as well. They were consistently marking the ball about a yard in front of where it was for both teams. To be fair, that's not like it was against the Rams, that one. Okay. But they were all over the place. It was pretty bad overall. You know, Jalen Ramsey, you know, he kind of tweeted about it but didn't tweet about it, and said all I can do is kind of laugh. But yeah, overall they were terrible. I mean, even on the fumble, there's the image of Aaron Donald being held round the neck,
yes,
with the offensive lineman behind him. So, I mean, even if it's, they're not going to give the fumble, it was a hold in the end zone, which is a safety, and the Rams got obviously the 2 points and then the ball back. It was all night. They were pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I've seen quite a lot of chat online about that, but I've not had the time to rewatch the game in full. I've just had to limit myself to the Channel 5 hour long highlights and the Game Pass 40 minute highlights. Just not had the time. But you were up watching it live, was you,
yeah,
Gordon?
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. That's dedication for you, sir. I tip my hat to you. But yeah, that's and the special teams. You know, the new kicker came in, Matt Gay. Obviously, he missed the one field goal, but he made 3 of 4 and made all 3 of the extra points. And I know you yourself, Jordan, have offered to go and kick those extra points yourself in the past. But I think he's an improvement on what we've had before this season. Do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I think anything would have been an improvement, really. But I think as well the touchbacks were big, because previously on when the Rams are kicking off, it was, you know, it was barely reaching the goal lines in some cases, and the for whatever reason the coverage hasn't been great. You know, we've saw teams, I think Seattle had won the return to like the 40 or 45 yard line. You know, when teams are returning it that far and giving themselves a short field, they're almost guaranteeing themselves 3 points. You know, they only really need to move it 20, 25 yards to get 3 points. So that puts a lot of pressure on your defence. I think overall it was pretty good. You know, it's obviously like everybody kind of got, you know, a bit nervous when he missed the one from, I think it was 44 yards maybe. But, you know, he recovered and obviously kicks a big pressure one with, you know, 2.5 minutes left or whatever it was to essentially win the game, the winning point. So, he's still going to be the kicker this week. And I think we just at the minute need to kind of take it a week by week basis.
Yep, definitely. I mean, especially coming from a position where special teams have been a strength of the team for the last 5-6 seasons. It does seem strange that we're concerned about our kicking at the moment. That does feel very different. Anything to add there, Rob?
I would just like to see a little bit more of them. I think, to be honest with you, yeah, missing that one kick, you know, which was, you would think would be within his range. You know, it doesn't really instill you full of confidence. You know, I think over the course of the game, I think he did play quite well. We'd just like to see more of him before we really make a decision. But, you know, it's a carousel just now, isn't it? And I'm just hoping maybe that Gay does settle down with us, and, you know, and maybe kind of, you know, give us some consistency here, because it's something we've not had this season, you know, really.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he came in at fairly short notice as well with the COVID protocols, so he wasn't able to practice until, was it Saturday or Sunday with any of the team?
I think it was a recommendation from Johnny Haker as well, wasn't it? I think he spoke for him.
Oh, really?
And kind of put him forward to the organisation. You know, they had a look at him and brought him in. So, as I say, he's obviously got that tie with the team to Johnny Haker as well. So, I think if Johnny Haker's speaking for you, you know, I mean, for me, that does speak volumes, you know, so it does. So, I'm quietly confident here, keeping my fingers crossed. As I say, I think we'll know more in a couple of weeks, certainly, you know.
Excellent. That's great stuff. So, I mean, Jordan brought up the penalties as well, and we had 5 penalties against the team on Monday. But did I hear that our defence is the least penalised defence in the league this season? Am I making that up, Jordan?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No. Maybe I'm making it up, but I'm sure I heard that or read that somewhere during the week, which is certainly a massive step on from where we were with Fisher. Ooh, and I'm just doing that remembering Judah type thing from a few seasons ago. But it does seem to feel as though we're getting our act together, and we're gaining some momentum as we come towards the business end of the season. I was going to talk about standout performances next. Is there a player that you'd like to single out there, Rob?
Again, obviously Jordan Fuller with the two interceptions, you know, for me stands out on defence. As I say, I thought he had a very, you know, away from the two interceptions, I thought he had a very consistent game as well. On offence, I think you can pick one of the two wide receivers, you know, Cup or Woods. Again, just, you know, just so consistent, just a fabulous tandem. I think that the running game was kind of stymied a little bit, wasn't it? You know, I think 37 yards between the three overall. Mm-hmm. They didn't abandon it, though, and that's what I liked. You know, the passing game was working. You know, they were threatening a little bit with the running game, you know, trying to keep themselves balanced. But no, I think it's certainly Jordan Fuller standout on defence, and certainly maybe just tip my hat to Robert Woods, you know, getting the player of the week as well, you know, offence.
Indeed, an NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Jordan, standout performances for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Cup and Woods are the guys with all the yards on offence. You know, again, I think Darius Williams has a couple of pass defences again, which is, you know, he's just obviously week on week. I think he's probably making himself more known across the league. But yeah, I think, you know, Cup and Woods are the two main guys from Monday.
Excellent. Good stuff. Were there any injuries coming out, any major injuries coming out from the game on Monday, Jordan?
I don't know how severe they are, but certainly Kaiser had an injury, which is a bit of a worry, considering the linebacker depth. You know, and I think he has been hot and cold over the season, to be fair, but you know, that's anytime you go from your number one guy down, it's obviously a worry. So mm-hmm. He was definitely one that was injured. And I think also Higbee had a hand injury on one of the catches that he went down. But I think he came back into the game, but he obviously missed a week or two with a hand injury, so I don't know if I'm unsure if it's the same one or not, but it's just something to keep an eye on.
Sure. Anything else that you spotted, Rob?
No, I think Jordan's touched on it there. Yeah, as I say, obviously Kaiser did actually come out after the injury. I think Hollis came in and finished the game for him. So I did read a wee bit today, actually, as just an update from the 24th there of November, just actually saying, you know, Kaiser has a leg injury and he's questionable against the 49ers. So that was the most recent update on it, so it was.
I mean, obviously we're on a short week here as well, so getting those injuries back may be a problem with it being a Monday to Sunday game for us. So hopefully those players come through that as best as we can. We did sign a player, I don't know if it was just before or just after the game, Derek Rivers from the New England Patriots, defensive end, I think. He's been there for a couple of seasons up in New England, but he's had quite a few injuries, and it looks like he's just coming in to be a bit of a squad player, a bit of a depth player. Jordan, do you have any visibility of Derek Rivers at all?
No, just from what I kind of saw on Twitter, and it was a lot of people had kind of, well, the ones that kind of take notice of the draft more had kind of said that, mm-hmm. You know, if it wasn't for his injuries, he could have been quite a good player. So, you know, it's always an interesting one when you take a chance on someone like that. Obviously, if he's not played much in the two and a half years or whatever that he's been in the league, then it's a concern and you're not expecting an impact right away or anything. But, you know, if it's a project player, then there's no harm in it.
No, I mean, it's certainly the way that our defensive coach has been coaching up the team this season. You know, having a project player seems sensible, and if we've picked him up just on waivers, then there's no real risk there at all, apart from a squad place. Any thoughts on that at all, Rob?
No, I was reading a little bit today actually about it. I mean, obviously he was a reasonably high draft pick. He went in the third round. The Patriots took him in the third round. But yeah, as I say, he's lost a lot of time through injuries. You know, a career-ending injury in 2017, and again in 2019. So yeah, it's been difficult for him to stay in the park.
I'd be worried if he's had a career-ending injury.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Sorry, a season-ending injury. I'm reading and talking at the same time. Yeah, sorry, a season-ending injury in 2017, 2019. So it's been difficult for the guy to stay in the park. They obviously want to have a look at him. You know, I think with losing Aranquo, you know, it's possibly maybe some depth for us, you know, that kind of outside position. So again, it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether he does you know, play at all and get some time for us and get a look at him. But I mean, they're obviously looking at him because he's fit at the moment. So as I say, it's potentially going to be some depth for us, and it'll be interesting to see how it transpires.
And did anybody else see this just a couple of hours ago that we've signed, we've moved Okawanko up from the practice squad to the main squad today?
He's been on IR, so
right.
He's designated to return, which I think gives you a 2-week window, for him to come back, practice, make sure he's actually ready to come on, and then you can make a decision if he comes onto the roster.
But that's certainly good news to see that he's coming back off injured reserve, and we've got another 2 weeks before he comes back into the squad then. So that's good news. We seem to be getting some players back towards the business end of the season, so to speak. Excellent. I can't think of any other news or any talking points from the game. Always good to get one over on Tom Brady, obviously. Current standings are that we do top the NFC West at 7-3 away from Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, we have the win over them, which gives us that position at the top of the table. So that feels good. Am I right in saying that we hold the NFC number 2 seeding at the moment? And if the playoffs went today, we would end up playing Arizona Cardinals at home. Is that right, Rob?
Do you know, I'd have to double check, but yeah, I think we're sitting one game behind the Saints at the moment in the conference, aren't we? You know, with our record. I'm not just exactly sure who we would play. I'd have to look at that, Tony. But yeah, yeah. I have to admit, it's weird. Where do you want to be just now, isn't it?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I'm sure it was only 2 weeks ago that we were seventh seed, and the second seed was the Cardinals, and we'd be playing them at home. So it just shows you how quick these things can change.
Absolutely, yeah.
And obviously, we've still got another 6 games to go to the end of the season. But it does feel as though we're building a bit of momentum towards the end of the season, Jordan. Do you agree that momentum seems to be coming our way?
Yeah, and it's a good time it's coming as well, because the second half of our schedule is certainly more difficult than the first half. You know, I think we're 7-1 in the conference, which is obviously extremely good for the playoff standings overall. You know, the two losses were to the AFC East. And also another point is we're not going the furthest east that we go now is Arizona. Mm-hmm. And the longest flight we have to take is up to Seattle at the end of the season. So, you know, there's a lot of positives to take from that positioning just now. I suppose with four divisional games still to play, that's where, you know, seeding places are going to be won and lost. But I'm interested if it's actually better to finish the fifth seed and play the NFC East winner rather than, you know, at the minute, I think you're right. It's either, I wasn't sure if it was the Cardinals or the Seahawks that we would be scheduled to, you know, face if it finished today. And that's, even at home, that's an infinitely tougher matchup than playing one of those teams, to be honest.
I mean, the information I had did come from NFL UK, so we can take that with a little grain of salt, given their previous track record. But with the next two games being divisional games, you know, our fate is in our own hands. And if we could win both of those, we could really take a bit of a stranglehold at the top of the division there. Which would feel pretty fantastic at this point of time, because I think in previous conversations we've said that although we had a good start and we made some good wins last season, it didn't really feel convincing. But I think that has changed this season, where we've had similar amount of wins, and it feels a lot more convincing. Is that a feeling you have, Rob?
Well, obviously, you know, as you rightly say, there's certainly some big games coming up. But, you know, I think, you know, if we're able to beat the 49ers, you know, this weekend coming, you know, that looks particularly, you know, poor for their situation. You know, it doesn't quite eliminate them, certainly, but it's certainly going to make things very difficult for them and keep us in that top spot. You know, we still have the Cardinals to play home and away. I think the final game, I think, is against the Seahawks. So, but yeah, the great thing about it is, you know, as I say, we're looking consistent on both sides of the ball, and it's in our own hands. So we're unbeaten in SoFi as well. So we are. So hopefully we can certainly try and continue that. I think you know the team is playing well enough, I think, you know, to hopefully certainly keep themselves in place. And again, I think the division will be won and lost, you know, on these divisional games that are coming up.
Definitely. And as we're talking about divisional games, you know, I don't know why, but I'd sort of forgotten that we was playing the Niners this Sunday. And this is one of the games or one of the matchups that I always look forward to, as much as a lot of Rams fans always look at the Seattle game. I always look at the San Francisco game. I really do not like playing San Francisco. I do not like them as a team, full stop. I've just got our head-to-head record up against them. We've played them 141 times in our history, and we've only beaten them 67, and they've beaten us 71 times. So that makes me itch a little bit. Have you looked ahead to this game at all, Jordan?
I think I'm still recovering sleep from Monday night, Tuesday morning, but yeah, it's always one, obviously, like you say, if I kind of, although I've, you know, obviously been a fan for a lot of years, it was mostly the kind of St. Louis years that I've started my fandom, so I don't have the, obviously, if you've historically supported the Rams, the 49ers is the biggest game. And it's, I think it's becoming more like that again, even for myself. You know, for a long time, I've kind of been, the Seahawks has been the big rivalry, but yeah, the kind of California rivalry is the big one for a lot of people. I think it's kind of similar to the one earlier in the season. I think it's going to be a difficult game, but it's one that you go into it thinking that you should be winning just because of the amount of injuries and stuff that they have. They are decimated even more so now. They don't have George Kittle, who had a big game against us in the previous matchup. And, well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but Garoppolo's not there as well, out with injury. So it's, you know, it's going to be a tough one, but I think if you want to be taken seriously going forward, it's one that you need to take care of, to be honest.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you say that Garoppolo's out at the moment, is he? So it looks like we'll be playing against Nick Mullins, is that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Have you taken a bit of a look at this as well, Rob?
I have, yeah. I actually took a bit of time today just to have a look over them. As you rightly say, Jordan, you know, they're still very much decimated with injuries. You know, they are hoping to get some starters back, actually, this week. But again, there's still some question marks over guys like Richard Sherman. They're hoping that he can certainly return this week. Raheem Mostert as well, the big running back who hurt us pretty bad. And that last time we played them, they're hoping to have him back for this game as well. So a couple of important faces returning for them. But yeah, there's still a number of guys out. As you rightly say, Jordan Kittle's a big blow to them, as I say. But they've actually lost three in a row, lost their last three games. And they've had a wee chance there, you know, with their bye week last week to try and get a couple of guys back. So they might be slightly healthier, you know, going into this game. But they've lost so much, you know. I mean, obviously, Garoppolo's a blow. Again, like yourself, Jordan, if I was a 49ers fan, I wouldn't be the biggest fan. You know, he does blow a bit hot and cold. Nick Mullins hasn't looked bad when he's came in, but as I say, they haven't really been able to compete in their last three games, and I think injuries are probably the biggest part of that. You know, guys, they've lost guys for the season as well, like, you know, Joey Bosa, you know, down on the line. Another guy they're hoping to get back this week, I think, is Dee Ford. I think potentially he's another guy that could possibly return. Sorry, I beg your pardon, he's not coming back. I'm just looking at the injury, the updated injury. He's another guy they've actually lost again down on the line, as well as Bosa, Dee Ford. So, as I say, yeah, I mean, they're very much hurting. I think they also had a number of guys actually isolating this week due to COVID. COVID-19 as well, so they've also had that to deal with, and the run up to this game as well. So they've had blow after blow this year, and I think their season and their record is starting to reflect that. And as I say, going into this one, to be honest, I actually do feel pretty confident, you know, being at home, that this is a game we can win as well.
Oh, famous last words, Rob. My heart bleeds for San Francisco with all their injuries and issues this season, but I do hope that we can pay them back for that loss they inflicted on us earlier in the season. I think we need to really push on now and actually pour some real pain onto the Niners. That would really make my Sunday evening and make that 12:30 finish worthwhile. Considering I get up at 5:30 during the week, doesn't give me much time to celebrate at all afterwards. I think we should really have a look at our predictions for the Sky games, and I'm just. We've had some changes because the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game has been moved now due to some COVID protocols to the Sunday. So we're losing that from the Thanksgiving schedule. So we're left with just two games on Thanksgiving, Houston-Detroit and Washington-Dallas. Now, I have it down as a Detroit home win and a Dallas home win. Jordan, you have an away win for Houston and a home win for Dallas. You think Houston can go to Detroit on Thanksgiving and come away with the win?
Yeah. I mean, Detroit scored 0 points on Sunday there, so it's not exactly the best forum to be getting into a game on, if I'm being honest. I think, you know, Deshaun Watson's playing pretty well for not having an offensive line, and I think he's going to be missing a couple of receivers as well. So I just think, you know, I'd be surprised if Matt Patricia lasts at the Lions after this season. I don't think they're a pretty good, you know, I don't think they're a good team at all. So yeah, I've got the Texans for that one.
Excellent. And Rob, you've gone exactly the same way. You've gone for a Houston win and a Dallas win as well. You don't think Washington can pull off that surprise win on Thanksgiving in Dallas?
I don't think they're two particularly strong teams just now. I just nod towards, I think, Dallas just maybe having a little more in this one, to be honest. It potentially could go either way, but my gut just tells me Dallas in this one.
I can't blame you on that one, really. Everybody had gone for Pittsburgh Pittsburgh game. I'm just a little bit concerned that they might slot Pittsburgh into one of the other slots on Sunday evening, because we do have Tennessee Indianapolis at 6 p.m. on Sunday, where everybody apart from Tom had gone for Tennessee. He'd gone for Indianapolis. The 9 p.m. slot is Kansas City at Tampa Bay. We had a bit of a split there with Chris, Jordan and Tom going for KC. But us three here had all gone for Tampa Bay. Tony, Ira... No, Jordan, you'd gone for KC as the away win at Tampa. So I'm reading across the lines and trying to cross-section it and failing miserably. I mean, obviously, KC are doing really well this season, but it is an away game. But you think they can overpower Tampa Bay, especially after our loss? our win there at their place.
I think the Chiefs probably fancy themselves to score more points than the other team at any point. I think, you know, Sunday night they kind of proved that again. I think Patrick Mahomes had about 90 seconds or so, and it took barely 60 to go down and score the game winning touchdown. So yeah, I just think they'll have too much. They've got too many weapons. You know, we saw what Cotton Woods did. I don't see any reason why, you know, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, etc. will not be able to do that either.
Mm-hmm. And the Sunday night football game is Chicago at Green Bay. And again, right across the team, we've all gone for Green Bay. Any particular thoughts on that, Rob?
I just think they're the better team at the moment. They have the better record. They're at home, and that all just swings it to Green Bay for me. As Green Bay showed us last week, you know, they're more than capable of losing a game, particularly a close game. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you've saw the issues that the Bears have had. You know, they've had no real consistent quarterback play. You know, as I say, Trubisky's out. You know, and Nick Foles is in. I think, although he's injured now, isn't he? I think so. It's just a game. I think that the Packers will win. I think the home field advantage and the fact that they're that bit more consistent and they have the better record at the top of that division. I think there'll be too much there for I think the Bears to go there and win it.
And the Monday night football game is Seattle at Philadelphia, and again it's a clean sweep right across all six of us that we've all gone, unfortunately, for Seattle to win that game. And I think that's more of a reflection on the state of Philadelphia than it is a reflection on Seattle. I just think, you know, I think there's been a mismatch this season between the NFC West and the NFC East. Jordan, has the NFC East totaled a win against our division yet this season?
Did the Eagles beat the 49ers, I think, week four?
I don't know. I'm reaching myself here, so I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. But
I think that might be the only one that I can think of.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a mismatch on this rotation for the fixtures this season. I'm fairly pleased that we got our sweep of the NFC East in fairly early, so we can focus on what are more important games within the division. And just looking at the predictions we've had throughout the season, we have Tom with 28 correct predictions. We have Aaron and Rob on 29 correct predictions. Myself on 31. Jordan on 33, and Chris just squeaking in front on 34. And I'm sure he's sat at home in his chair pumping the air to see that he's still in front on those predictions. But with six games this weekend, anything's in play, actually. If somebody gets six correct predictions, they could easily sweep up to the top of that predictions table.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So that's the standings and our predictions. We've looked at San Francisco. I have the questions from both Facebook and Twitter. Does anybody else have anything else they want to add before I start doing the questions that have come from our adoring listeners?
No, nothing.
Excellent. So Andy Lamble on Facebook says he's maybe getting slightly ahead of himself here this week, but a bit of a two-part question. What positions do you reckon we are likely to see us addressing free agency and the draft next season? I'd like to see the special teams addressed more than anything else. But Rob, any thoughts there?
I think certainly an area of need for us is probably, you know, in the middle of that defence, you know, at the inside kind of linebacker position. You know, that's something I'd maybe be looking at potentially in the off-season, you know. I think for anything else, it really for me would depend on what's going to come and go, you know, because obviously we're still pretty cash-strapped, you know, there's guys coming to the end of their contracts. The picture will be much clearer once you kind of know what's going to happen in those scenarios. But that's certainly one area of the team. Do you know, actually looking over the team, you know, maybe short of consistency at kicker and the middle of that defence, you know, there doesn't look to be an awful lot of, you know, obvious glaring weaknesses. So I think we are in a pretty strong position, to be honest.
Excellent. And Jordan, any particular thoughts from you?
No, I mean, I think it's just kind of a domino effect, really. You know, you need to see who out of your own guys you can re-sign. Like, so John Johnson's on his last year, Josh Reynolds. So, you know, I think I'd like to see John Johnson stay, but I think he might cost a bit too much. So, you know, you're going to need to replace him because obviously you've got Fuller playing well, but I think Johnson's been playing well also. Do you think Taylor Rapp can step up and fill that void? That's one thing to look at. You know, Josh Reynolds, there's Van. Well, we all assume Van Jefferson will step up. It does look like in the limited time we've seen that he's got the ability to do that. So do you need to either draft a guy at wide receiver later on, or do you get a kind of veteran guy in to fill the kind of number four receiver? Gerald Everett's another one. You know, so it's basically a domino effect that really depends how many of your own guys you can get back, and then you go from there. So. Yeah, a bit too early for me.
Yep, no, that's a problem. I mean, John Johnson was one of the players that Andy had highlighted himself as a priority for next season, and then possibly Ibukam as well. Hopefully we can get him a slight discount and make him fit into the salary cap. But Michael Woods on Facebook also asked, not really a question, but I think we covered this, to be honest. Not a question as such, but the O-line looked very solid. Did we miss Andrew Whitworth as much as we thought we would? Rob?
Well, we spoke about, you know, the play of Joseph Notboom earlier. As I say, we very much hope he continues to go from strength to strength. Yes, you know, Andrew Whitworth is, of course, you know, going to be a miss. The guy's such an established veteran and still playing, you know, at this late in his career at such a high level as well. That, yeah, obviously it's a blow. Very much as I said, hopefully Joseph Notboom can continue to improve and hold down that left tackle position. And as I say, later in the season, you know, hopefully, you know, Andrew Whitworth can recover as quickly as possible. And then you've got that question, you know, will he return? Will he not return? It's very much up in the air just now. And again, once we have a chance to see more of Joseph Notboom in that position, you know, maybe a little bit further down the road, you know, that'll be a clearer picture. But yeah, obviously Andrew Whitworth is certainly a big loss. But if Joseph Notboom continues to play like this and improve, maybe not the massive loss that it could have been, you know, because we saw him at left guard, and I don't think anybody was thrilled with his play at left guard. He's had some issues with injury as well, and thankfully he's recovered from then. So, so far so good, you know, in the short spell that we've saw him. But hopefully, yeah, once we're fit and good to go again, the decision will be made whether he comes back in or not, and time will only take time to tell on that one.
I mean, Michael did clarify a little bit later down the thread, saying that he felt bad for even asking the question. But any thoughts on that, Jordan Sewell?
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Andrew Whitworth walks back into that team when he's fit. Like, that's a full stop at the end of that. He walks back into that team. Yep. Notboom's had one good game. Andrew Whitworth had a 13, 14, 15 year career at this position. So, like, he's a massive miss. Notboom's had one good game. Let's simmer down a little bit on how good he is. And, you know, that Andrew Whitworth's a Hall of Fame potential type guy. If he adds a Super Bowl, you know, that's how good he is. So I think we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves with Notboom.
Yep, fair, that's a fair point, Jordan. And Steve McAngus on Facebook asks, he might be getting ahead of himself here after Monday night's good win, but how far can or will we go this season? And I personally, I think we've got a better than average chance of making the playoffs. How far we go with the rearranged 14 team playoffs is another question, because I'm not entirely sure how it all works statistically. But I'd like to think that we can win at least one, possibly two games in the playoffs. Any thoughts on that yourself, Jordan?
I don't really like answering these ones, to be honest, because
you don't have to.
We have 7 wins. We're not even in the playoffs yet. Although I agree, we've got a really good chance, especially if we're playing the way we have just now. And then it all depends on the bracket and how the bracket plays out. You know, yep. say it is Seattle or Arizona. There's something really superstitious about in America anyway about playing the same team 3 times. Yeah. You know, and beating them 3 times if that's the case, and we sweep either of these teams in the regular season. So I think we're a long way from me to saying how far we can go at the minute.
That's fair enough. That's not a problem. Any thoughts, Rob, that you want to put on to the ether?
No, yeah, very much what Jordan said there. Yes, it's a bit down the line here, isn't it? You know, I'm just happy that the team is where it is just now. As I say, I didn't think that our record would be what it is just now coming into this season. So just happy to be, you know, top of the division just now, and just looking forward to the rest of the season. Hopefully we can maintain a positive record and go into the playoffs.
I was going to say, because in our pre-season predictions, Rob, you had us down as having 3, 4, 5 losses at this point of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd said that, I think, early on in one of the podcasts, that I think the off-season wasn't kind to us. You know, I think we had lost more than we had gained in the off-season. And I thought that this season could potentially be much more difficult than previous recent seasons for that reason. Thankfully, some of the rookies that were brought in have played very well. You know, some of the young guys that have hung around have stepped up as well. So hopefully that continues. But yeah, as I say, I think, you know, there's some big games to go. And as I say, I'm just thankful that we are where we are just now. And as I say, hopefully the good results can continue.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the rookies there as well, Rob, because JStod25 on Twitter asks us, which rookie were you guys most happy for this week? Was it Fuller for his first interception? Van Jefferson or Akers for their first touchdown at all? Rob first?
You know, very much them all. I think it was really great, you know, to see Cam Akers getting his first touchdown, albeit a pass and not a run. Also, again, great to see Van Jefferson, you know, pull one in and go into that end zone. And again, you know, Jordan Fuller stepping up and getting the 2 interceptions. I'm very happy for them all. Good to see those young guys, you know, in the rotations and producing, you know, on the park. So again, long may that continue.
Excellent. Any thoughts there, Jordan?
No, I mean, kind of similar, but I think Van Jefferson's parents were there, so that would have been nice for him and them. And also the Jordan Fuller thing goes a bit further, just because he's an Ohio State guy, Tom Brady from Michigan, and that's kind of the big rivalry, one of the big rivalries in college football, so that would have been nice for him as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's great for them all, and especially, you know, maybe getting instant impact from a rookies isn't something that we're too used to. Although maybe, you know, it's week 10 or whatever, week 11, so it's not quite instant impact for Jefferson and Akers. But, you know, getting that first season impact anyway, it's not something we've particularly been used to recently.
No, definitely. It's good to see any rookie come good in their debut season, obviously. And Luke Jameson, again on Twitter, makes more of a statement than anything else. But how underrated are Woods and Cup as a partnership, especially leading the league in yards after catch? I think that's more about Cup with that yards after catch. And I think everybody knows what a fanboy I am of Cooper Cup. But Jordan, they do seem to be developing well as a receiving partnership.
Yeah, well, that's what the fourth is. That's about the fourth year of them together, and you know, I think they've grown each year. And I've always said, I think the only person on TV that you ever hear talking about Robert Woods is Troy Aikman. Every time he's got a Rams game, he goes on about Robert Woods and everything he does. But yeah, they're certainly underrated. So it was, you know, it's good to see, like, so, Devontae Adams, who's the Green Bay Packers wide receiver, talk about how good Cooper Kupp is. You know, because I think sometimes they get a minute of airtime on the TV shows in America and the radio shows, and then they kind of gloss over them. It's just, I think we, other people take for granted how consistent they are, because they're maybe not pulling off, you know, the highlight reel catches every week, but we know how good they are, and I think maybe that's all that matters to them, because that's kind of guys that they seem like they don't, I'm sure they would love national recognition, but I don't think they necessarily need it. That's just the type of people they seem.
Indeed. And again, more of a comment than anything else from Scott Kirkwood on Twitter. Granted, he's not watched every NFL game this season, but was the hold on Aaron Donald the worst refereeing performance this year? And I think we did touch a little bit on this earlier, Jordan, and Scott has put up the picture of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer player holding Aaron Donald by the shoulder and the face mask within the end zone. And that's all I can see at the moment. And I think, Jordan, you already said it was one of the worst refereeing performances you'd seen ever this season.
Yeah, no, ever, not just this season, ever. But yeah, I mean, when you look at that hold, and then they called one on Rob Havenstein in the next Rams drive, which was a hold, but it wasn't as blatant as that. So it's like, you know, a lot of the NFL rules are judgment calls. In fact, most of them are judgment calls. But I just don't understand the consistency sometimes, you know, and the likes of that. We saw, again, with a helmet-to-helmet, I think they threw a flag on, I'm not sure who it was, but it was Robert Woods, was the Rams player involved. It was worse than what Jalen Ramsey done to Kyle Allen earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I say Jalen Ramsey done it to Kyle Allen, it was the other way about, but Ramsey got the flag. And they just picked it up. And it's like, where's the consistency? That's the main issue. And, you know, yeah, like I say, it's the worst performance I've seen in a long time.
Rob, do you want to comment on that?
I don't think there's really much more to add. You know, I mean, obviously we're aware, you know, refereeing can be a thankless job. Yeah, they can officiate and teams can have off days. Yeah, there was some certainly some decisions in that game, you know, that are questionable. I think, you know, you have to just move on for it. Sometimes they go for you, sometimes they're against you, aren't they? Nothing really more to add than that, don't you?
Fair enough. I do have one final question for Jordan. When there's a live game on involving the Rams, how do you manage to live tweet and watch the game in such detail? We've been holding this question for a couple of weeks now, waiting for you to come back on the podcast. But how do you manage to do that?
I don't know. I suppose it's waiting for the right moment in the game to tweet out. It's, you know, it's obviously better when there's a break, so you don't, or like a, you know, when the Rams are going, you know, no huddle and rushing up to the line, it's a bit more difficult. But, you know, when they're taking their time or whatever, it's easy enough. And obviously, there's plenty of breaks to get time to do it as well. But yeah, I think I've just got used to it. It's been the third season we're doing this overall?
Oh,
between the accounts, well, longer for you probably, but on Twitter, I think that's maybe the third season. So
yeah, I mean, sorry, go on, John.
No, I think at the start I tried to do like every play and it was just impossible, so I've kind of you know, cut it down to the kind of bigger things, which makes it a bit easier as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a little bit different with Facebook, in so much as though I've never tried to do every play or anything like that, but there's more of an immediacy with Twitter. And I think it's just people being impressed with how quick you are to tweet your opinions on the account after the plays happen. So I think it was more of a compliment than anything else. I'd like to thank you both for your time this evening. It seems like we're just coming up to the 1 hour mark, which seems like a good time to finish our podcast, our 40th podcast. So thank you very much, Jordan.
Yeah, cheers.
And thank you very much, Rob.
Yeah, cheers, Tony. Cheers, guys.